Rashi quotes from the Medrash in the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach Yankov Malachim, that was Malachim Mamish. So the question is, we have a tradition, Rashi quotes from the Medrash, that no one Malach is sent to do more than one Shlichas. So what were these Malachim doing? There were Malachim roaming around doing Shlichas in Min HaShemayim. Then Yankov Avinu sends them to do another Shlichas. And thus you should say that these malachim, ki malachim tzavalach shmocha b'chol derachecha. That's how Rashi says on Parashat, the beginning of Vayetze and the end of Vayetze, that there were malachim to protect Yaakov Avinu. So at the beginning of the Parashat, we have malachi Eretz Yisrael are leaving back to heaven, and malachi chutz l'aretz are coming to protect them. The end of the Parashat, v'yivka bo malachi elokim machanoim tu machnos. The machna of malachim chutz l'aretz are going back to heaven, and malachim of Eretz Yisrael are coming back. So those malachim were sent ben Hashemayim to protect Yaakov Avinu. So in order to have his protection, so he sends them to do a shlichas. That's what he needs. He sends them to Esav to do the shlichas. He refers Yaakov Avinu refers to Esav as his brother. Kosam ladon li Esav kama. How does he say? Banu alachicha al Esav, the malachim say, Banu alachicha al Esav. They refer to him as a brother. Why do they refer to him as a brother? Esav wasn't Jewish. Yaakov Avinu was Jewish, Esav was not Jewish. Before the days, Yaakov Avinu was the first one who had mitosa shlema, all of his children were Jewish. Before him, Avraham Avinu only had one son who was Jewish, Yitzchak, and Yishmael was not Jewish. And B'Yitzchak, Korlechazer, B'Yitzchak, the Lord called Yitzchak. So Yankov was Jewish and Esav was not Jewish. So why does he refer to him as Achicha? So they quote in the name of Rav Elbel Soloveitchik that Esav originally was mamish the twin brother with Yaakov. So originally at this, they were brothers. And then it's Esav son Esi. That's how the Haftarah said, that's how the Navi said, Esav was rejected. Yishmael was never, in the first place, Yishmael was never had a Kedushas Yisrael. But initially, Yaakov and Esav were twin brothers. They both should have had a Kedushas Yisrael. But Esav was rejected later. So because it started off that he should have been included in the Kedushas Yisrael. So maybe that's why. Maybe that's why he's referred to. In Chumash Dvarim also you have like that. Atem avrim b'gvul acheichem b'nei Esav ha'yoshvim b'seir. The Rebbeinu Shlomo refers to Esav as Bigvul Achechem, as Achim. Because Esav is not the same as Yishmael. Yishmael from the very outset was not going to have a Kedush Yisrael, and Esav apparently he should have had. But the Rabbi uses the Loshem as Esav San Esi. The Pasuk says that when the messengers came back to Yaakov Avinu and they tell him that Esav is coming with 400 soldiers. Vayir Yaakov Yod Vayetzalo, he was very petrified. He was very frightened. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Vayir Yaakov Yod Shema Yehoreg, he was afraid he may get killed. Vayetzalo Shema Yarag Acherim, he was afraid he may kill others. So the Maralmi Prague has a commentary on Rashi that's called Gur Aryeh. So on this pasuk he has an important comment. That's negate to world history. He says, what is he afraid? Shema Yarag Acherim. What is he afraid? The Acherim haba lahargacha hashkem lahargai. If Esav is coming with 400 soldiers to wipe out Yankov's family, so what's wrong if Yankov kills Esav? They have a din of a roidev. So must be he's not afraid that he's going to kill Esav as a roidev, Esav with his 400 men. He's afraid he's going to kill innocent bystanders. So the Maralmi Prague writes, that's what they always attack Medinas Yisrael, that they kill so many innocent people, kill all the innocent Arabs. So the Maralmi Prague writes, unfortunately, in every war in the world, always innocent bystanders are killed. You don't always kill the soldiers of the other people. You have to try to limit it as much as possible, but it's always like that. Every Muhammad in the world. And whenever you go to Muhammad, there's a heter ritzicha. You're permitted to kill. That's the chiddush of Dine Muhammad. You have a heter ritzicha. So the heter ritzicha even goes on the innocent bystanders as well, whatever is necessary for the war effort. The Americans killed a much higher percentage of innocent citizens in the Second World War than the Israelis killed in all of their wars. That's world history. That's the way it goes. So what's Takap Shat? What is the Yifrit Shem Yarek Acherim? So there's a famous Vertel that they attribute to different tzaddikim, that the Gemara says in the last Davan Hoyrius, that a lot of times in the Mishnais when it says Acherim Oimrim, it's referring to Rab Meir. They didn't want to quote him by name. The Gemara gives a whole explanation why they didn't want to quote him by name, so they call him Acherim Oimrim. Tosis points out sometimes it can't be, because sometimes it's machlokes between Reb Meir and Acherim Oimrim. So how can it be? Acherim Oimrim is not always Reb Meir. Tosis has one suggestion. Maybe it's only where Reb Meir quotes Acher. Reb Meir learned by Acher. So maybe they only call him Acherim Oimrim when he's quoting by Acher. But whatever it is. So some say this. So there's a Gemara in Gittin, in the Agarata of the Churban Beis HaMikdosh, that Neron Kesar converted, and Reb Meir was a descendant of his. So Neron was all, they were all descendants from Esav. So that's what some say. He was afraid, Shema Yarg Acherim, he's afraid he may kill Reb Meir. He may kill Esav, and one of the descendants of Esav will be Reb Meir, so he's afraid of killing him. But it's a problem. What was he worried about, Shema Yarg Acherim? It's interesting, the Medrash on the Pasuk says, Vayor Yankam Yod Vayetza Loi, he was promised by HaKadosh Baruch in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze. What is he nervous now? So Rashi says, Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Yigram Achet, and because he received so many toibes from HaKadosh Baruch, Katanti Mikolach HaSodim, so Bitziruf Katanti Mikolach HaSodim, HaKadosh Baruch was so unkind to him, and maybe he sinned, so that's why he was afraid maybe the Haftocha won't continue to apply. But the Medrash has another consideration here, that Yaakov Avinu was concerned about the fact that his brother Esav was Mekai in the midst of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. He was in Chutz Lortz for so many years, and Esav was Mekai. When Esav was Mekai, Esav was a Rasha. What kind of Yishev Eretz Yisrael? So you see that even a Rasha, and then the Medrash has that Esav was Mekai Kibbut Aviyim, and he was away for so many years. For 22 years he was away. He wasn't Mekai Kibbut Aviyim. So you see that, what do you mean Esau and Medrash says, Esau is Mekayim Kibbut Aviyim in a fantastic fashion, more so than anybody else. Yeah, but he caused aggravation to the father. It says, Ein of Kehos, Yitzchok lost his eyesight. So Rashi quotes the Medrash, lost his eyesight, because Esau's wives were burning Torahs to Avodah Zarah. Then there's another Medrash that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was afraid. Everybody in the world knew Esau was a Rosh, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want Yitzchak Avinu to walk around in the street, people will point to him. That man, he's the father of Esav. So that's why Min HaShamayim, they caused him to lose his eyesight, so he always stayed home, so no one would be able to point a finger, that's Esav's father. So that's called Kibbut Aviyim, because he was mechaber the parents so much, but the parents had aggravation from him. But the part that it was Mekayim Kibbut Aviyim, and the Yishev Eretz that he did, he didn't believe in anything. He wasn't a religious fellow. Still, the Kibbut Aviyim that he did and the Yishev Eretz that he did is also considered a mitzvah. Some point out that they quote from Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. He was one of the big Kanoim in Eretz Yisrael in the recent years. So he said he doesn't know. They asked him, what did he say about Ben Yehuda? Ben Yehuda was not a religious Jew. So he said, but he has a big schus that introduced speaking Baloshna Kodesh. And Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld said, maybe we did wrong. Maybe we should have introduced speaking Balash Nakodesh. They were debating whether in different schools should they introduce the instruction should be in Hebrew and Yiddish. So they decided to leave it in Yiddish. So he said, maybe we did wrong. Now the secular Zionists have a big schus, and the secular Zionists have a big schus that they built up Eretz Yisrael, even though they didn't do other mitzvahs. They built up Eretz Yisrael. I had a friend of mine used to live, he passed away already, Mala Galinsky. So he used to live in Givat Shaul. So he said he had a neighbor who was a descendant from one of the Chassidish Rebbes from 250 years ago, from the 1700s. And this neighbor of his has a manuscript, a Ksav Yad, that he says he can't print. He says people will say that it's a forgery. He can't print it. Why? This Ksav Yad from the 1700s says, when the Dor HaMidbar went up to heaven, so the Rabbanu Shlom said that he's going to punish them because they rejected Eretz Yisrael. Mosul Eretz Chemda. They didn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. So they were pleading with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how does this Rebbe know? I had Ruach HaKadosh, I don't know. So he says, they were fighting, arguing with the Rabbanu Shlomo, let us come back to this world and as a Gilgal, a second time, to be Mesakin the Avera that we did. We'll build up Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbanu Shlomo said, no, back and forth an argument. The Rabbanu Shlomo said, okay, Apshara, I'll allow you to go back to this world in a Gilgal on the condition that you only do one mitzvah, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So who would believe such a story? Who would believe that to such a Jew whose only interest is doing Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? Historically, that's what happened. The secular Zionists, that's the one and only mitzvah that they did. Everything else they didn't believe in. But they still get a schus. They still get a schus for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So that's over here. The Medrash says, so the Medrash says he was concerned about the fact that his brother Esav, as big a Rasha as he was, he was Mekayim Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and he was Mekayim Kibbut Aviyim, and Yaakov Avinu wasn't. Yaakov Avinu was doing mitzvahs, and he was learning Torah. So this is a big Kibbut Aviyim to the parents. The Zohar says when a parent passes away and the child recites Kaddish, that's a form of Kibbut Aviyim. You put the parents from Gehenim. So this is the biggest form of Kibbut Aviyim. Yaakov Avinu is a religious Jew, and he's bringing a cover to the parents, and Esav is bringing aggravation to the parents. But still, in a certain sense, Esav did Mekayim Kibbut Aviyim. So he, the Rabbanu Shlomo gives a reward for even the non-religious Jews. Any little mitzvah that they do, big mitzvah. Who says a little mitzvah? Any mitzvah that anybody does, he gets chark. So Yaakov Avinu was concerned about that. Maybe his brother Esav has that schus, and he doesn't have that schus. Yaakov Avinu sends a message to his brother Esav, love and garti. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, the word garti is the same letters as taryag. Tarya mitzu shamarti. So the Prima Godim has a sefer on Chumash. So he points out, it's called Tevas Goyma. Gimel Mem Aleph is a Rosh Tevas Gemara Medrash Agoda. And every parashi has at least three Divrei Torah, three paragraphs. One is Gemara, one is Medrash, one is Agoda. I'm not sure. What's the difference between Medrash and Agoda? I'm not sure. But that's every parashi has at least three Divrei Torah. So one is Halacha, one is always Gemara, and one is Medrash, and one is Agoda. So on this pasuk is, how could he fulfill Taryag Mitzvah Shemarti? It's impossible for anybody to fulfill all the Taryag Mitzvah. Some mitzvahs are only for Kohanim, some mitzvahs are only for Yisraelim. There was no Beis HaMikdash. So he assumes that when you, the Gemara says in the Shalma form, so Seinu, when you talk about the Karbonus Male on the Aleim Kilu Hikrivum, that's the Gemara in the end of Megillah. So we mentioned that that's a machlokes between the Chafetz Chaim and others. The Chafetz Chaim has a whole essay in the Hagdamah to his Sefer on Kochim, in the Asif HaZikenim. He published a collection of Achreinim on Mesichtas of Kochim. He encouraged people that should learn Kochim, and he published Achreinim. So he has, by way of Hagdamah, he encourages people to learn Kochim. And he says that this Havtocha, Neshama Farms Haseino, only applies to Hakrobus Karbonis and to Binyan Beis Amigdash. Doesn't apply to all the other mitzvahs. And the Mabit and the Beis Elokim, right? It's not so. So the Prima Godim over here seems to hold like the Mabit. He says it's impossible for any one person to fulfill all the mitzvahs. So you have to learn the dinim. So Yaakov Avinu was learning all the dinim. So that's why it's considered Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti. So if he observed all the Taryag mitzvahs. Usually we assume that the Kohanim will fulfill their mitzvahs and the Yisraelim fulfill their mitzvahs and Kol Yisrael Reivim Zebizeh, so it's considered as if I did mitzvahs for the others and the other people did their mitzvahs, so it's considered as a mitzvah for me. But there weren't other people over here. There's no one else to, can't say Kol Yisrael Reivim Zebizeh. They have to say that he fulfilled the mitzvahs by Liman HaTorah. Otherwise, how is it possible to fulfill all the Taryag mitzvahs? The Gemara has in sight a whole discussion about how terrible, a whole sugya about gaiva, how terrible it is to be a bal gaiva. And then the Gemara has one opinion that a Talmud Chacham, out of Kavod HaTorah, has to have a little self-dignity. So he should be makbid a little bit. He has to have a shminish abishminis. So the Velt says, what does mean a shminish abishminis? An eighth of an eighth is 164, so that'll be batal b'shishim. The gaiva won't, you need a little self-dignity. Talmud Chacham has, but it should be batal b'shishim. They quote from the Vilna Gaon Avertel that Shminish Abishminis goes on the eighth pasuk and the eighth parsha. The eighth parsha, starting from Bereishis, is by Yishlach. The eighth pasuk is Kontanti Mikola Chasodim, that he shouldn't have any gaiva. He should say Kontanti, I lost HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so kind to me, content to me, I didn't deserve all of this, and my schusim are diminished because of the fact that Baruch Hu was so kind to me. So that's what the Vilna Gaon says, that the Shmini Shabbishminis refers to this pasuk. Then Yaakov Avinu prepares a matana for his brother Esau. Rashi quotes from the Medrash that he prepared himself for three things, for Doron, for Tefillah, for Melchama. He thought he felt strong enough to wage war. So what did he need the Doron for? He should have waged the war. So you see the Pashup Shat from the Psukim, Melchama is the last resort, even if you know for sure you're going to win the war. You don't start off with a war. First you start when you're dealing with Nachrim. First you start with Doron, and then whatever you do, you should have Tefillah. Gemara has in the end a Maseches Nida. What should a person do in order to be blessed with children? What should a person do in order to have baby boys? He has already girls, he wants boys. What should a person do to be successful in business, to make a lot of money? Gemara gives you eight, says do A, B, C, and then offer a Tefillah. Everything you do, you have to offer a Tefillah. So here the Gemara says, the Medrash, the Rashi quotes, the Medrash says, Doron a Tefillah, and then Melchama is the last resort, even though you know you're going to win the war, even if you know you have the atom bomb. But you don't start off with Melchama, you start off with Doron a Tefillah, and as a last resort, if that doesn't work, then you have no choice, you have to do Melchama. So when they were preparing the Matana, so it says, Matavra Hamincha Alpanov. So Rashi writes, Alpanov, Afu Shori Bikas Hoyo. So the Pashup Shat in Rashi is, he was also angry. What do you mean he was also? Who was the first person who was angry? Afu Shori Bikas Hoyo. So some of the Mepharshim explain it doesn't mean he too was angry. It says, Vataba Mincha Al Panav, so Rashi writes, Afu, period. Means Kas. Shori Bikas Hoyo. Not that Esau was also angry. Yaakov Avinu was angry. Why he needed this whole Asik? But it doesn't mean he was also. Af does mean Gamkein. I mean Afu, period. The word Alpanov means Loshen Kas. I think the Bar Tanura maybe says like that. Bar Tanura has a commentary on Pirush Rashi al Torah that's called Amar Noko. Amar Noko is a pasuk, I think, in Daniel. He had a vision of the Rabbanu Shalom, had a Mara Hanavua. The Rabbanu Shalom is an old man with long white hair. Levushi Kitlak Chiver, his malbush was right, it was white, and Sari Kama Noka, the Rabbanu Shalom's hair was white. He's an old man. Rabbanu Shalom is very old. So Sari Kitlak Sari, his hair is Ka'ama Noka, white like Tzemer. So that's Levushi Kitlak Chiver, the Pasuk says. So the Mekubalim say, the Sefer Chassidim quotes it from the Mekubalim, that it means he was wearing a white talus. That's why the Ramah says the meaning is that you wear a white talus, like the Malbush of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Sefer Daniel. So that's the name of the Bar Tanura's commentary on Rashi, is Amar Noka, because he cleans out the Rashi. Whenever there's a difficulty in Rashi, he cleans it out and it explains it so you don't have any difficulties in the Rashi. That's called Amar Noka. The pasuk says that Vayikachem Vayavirem Es Hanochal Vayavar Es Hashalo. Yaakov Avinu was schlepping everything, and the children weren't even helping him. So the Rashi quotes a Medrash, it's a Gemara, that he left Pachim Ktanim on the other side of the river, and he went to take the Pachim Ktanim. The children weren't helping. What do you need the Pachim Ktanim for? You have all these big suitcases full of clothing and all the valuables. What do you need the Pachim Ktanim? Empty jars. So the Gemara says that Tzadikim Chaviv Aleim Mamayim Yosem Yigufam, they don't want to be mevatar on any of their money. Why? Because it's honest money. Because they don't steal anybody else's money. And whatever they possess is rightfully there. So therefore they're makbid, they want to have everything. So those are the pachim ktanim, that's by tzadikim ha-makbid, even on the pachim ktanim. The pasuk says, Vayivosa yankev liv ado vayiovik ishimo. So there's a famous comment here in the Zohar that the Chassidish Svarim quote, Vayiovik ishimo ad alos ha-shachar, that it says Al Kein Leoch Bnei Yisrael Es Gid Al Noshim. They say Es is a Rosh Tevis of Tisha. That the Gemara says that there are Ramach Mitzvah Sesei and Shasa Mitzvah Sloi Sesei. So Ramach Mitzvah Sesei is Keneged the Ramach Ivorim in a male body. Female body doesn't have Ramach. And Shasa Mitzvah Sloi Sesei Keneged Yemos HaChama. So that's what it says in the Kabbalah Svarim, that every day of the year has a mitzvah that's Kenegdo. So Tisha B'Av, the mitzvah that's Keneged Tisha B'Av, is the mitzvah of Gid Al Noshim. Tisha B'Av represents the day in the year when the Jewish people don't have Shmira, when the Nochrim destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and they killed so many Jews. So that's what the Gid Al Noshim is all about. So that's what the Chassidish Svarim have. Maybe it's also in the Zohar, I don't know. Akin Lechem Yisrael, Es Gid Al Noshim, Es is a Rosh Tevis of Tisha. Tisha B'Av is the day that's Mechuben Keneged the mitzvah of Gid Al Noshim. Because the Malach that he was fighting with was Sorosh Aleisav, that's how the Medrash says, and Sorosh Aleisav had a Miktsa Shlita on Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu won the battle, but the Malach broke his leg. So that represents the fact that once in a while, the Umas Olam will make a pogrom and they'll kill a lot of Jews. So that's what represented by the idea of Gid Al Noshim. Who won the battle over here? So the Chumash implies, and the Haftarah says beferit, that Yaakov Avinu won the battle. The Malach broke his leg in the course of the battle, but Yaakov Avinu won the battle. So what is the moral of the story? What's the lesson? So the Radak writes in his commentary on Chumash, the lesson is, they ain't mazal Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael as a nation is lemaila min ha-teva. Malachim represent Teva. Ribbono Shel Olam sends Malachim to do everything. The Gemara has an expression in the Gemara in Chulin. Every blade of grass has a malach min hashamayim that instructs it that it should grow. So the malachim a lot of times just represent teva. So when there's a conflict between the Jewish people and teva, so the Jewish people win. We'll lose that, people will be killed. People, many millions of Jews were killed over the years in so many different programs and so many different forms, but at the end of the day, the Jewish people survive, which is Keneged HaTeva. That's what Mark Twain writes. He doesn't understand how come the Jews are still around. All the other nationalities come and go, there's a rise and a fall, and the Jewish people are still around. So that was the Haftocha that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave. But so the Radak said, that's what we don't need Gid Al Noshim to remember this lesson. That ain mazal Yisrael, the klal Yisrael is lemaila min ha-teva. Some point out vayivasa Yankev levada vayuav ikishimoi means when Yankev was together with the mishpacha, so no one started up with him, and he was all by himself. Then the Sorosh Aleisav starts up. So you see that sometimes there's a koyach hatzibur. In the schus of the tzibur, a person will be nitzal. My father-in-law, Zechon Levracha, went through the war, so he used to, at every family simcha, whenever there would be a bar mitzvah or a shever brachas or an oifruf or something, he would always start off the drosha to say that when the war began, he had already got married, he was no longer learning in the Mir Yeshiva, and he wasn't in Mir anymore. But when the war began and they started to run away, so he felt that he stands a better chance if he'll run with the yeshiva. So b'schus hatzibur, he always says he was nitzal. And there were those brilliant Talmid HaChachamim who felt that the decision that the yeshiva made was wrong. They're going to go, many thought like that, that they're going to go through the Transcontinental Railroad. I think it took 2 weeks to go to Vladivostok, from Vilna to Vladivostok. So Rabbi Chaim Oizer was opposed, many were opposed. They said the whole thing the Russians are going to send the Jews to Siberia and labor. Later on they sent them, but those who went through, they were nitzel. So many Talmid Chacham decided they're not going to go with the whole group, they're going to go on their own. So many of those who went on their own were killed. And those who went together with the yeshiva, they were nitzel. So that's what many suggested, that maybe that's the remez in the person. When you're alone, then you don't have the schus hatzibur. So then then you can be hurt. We don't eat Kiranosha. The Mishnah in Chulin has Per Kiranosha, has a Machloikis Hatanoim. Tosis learns a simple reading of the Machloikis Hatanoim is when was the mitzvah of Kiranosha given? It says, Alken lo yochel b'nei Yisrael is Kiranosha. B'nei Yisrael means the children of Yankov Avinu, whose name was just changed by the Malach to Yisrael. Lo yomer ochimcha, lo Yankov yomer ochimcha kim Yisrael yeshmecha. So it refers to Yankov Avinu, or should we assume no, that Giranosha wasn't given till after Matan Torah, and Baken Lo Yochman it says Giranosha means Bnei Yisrael after the Torah was given. So why is it written here that you should know what the background is for the mitzvah of Giranosha? So Tosfos learns Kipshuto that's the Machlokes Hatanoim. The Rambam there in the Pirush HaMishnayos as well as in the Mishnah Torah does not learn like that. The Rambam learns that they all agree that the mitzvah of Giranosha was given on that occasion, because the Rambam quotes from the Medrash Rabbah that each one of the Ovos was given an additional mitzvah. From the days of Noach, there were seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, and then Avraham Avinu was given an additional mitzvah of Milo, Yitzchok, Yifrish, Maisris, and Yaakov Avinu was given the mitzvah of Giranosha. Each one of the Ovos had a krisis bris, separate krisis bris, each one was given an additional mitzvah. But the Machloikas Hatanoim is a different Machloikas. Why are we today still obligated to observe the mitzvah of Giranosha? Is it because it was given to Yankov Avinu and that's enough that it should be binding throughout all the future generations? Or no, we don't paskan like Rabbi Yehuda, we paskan like the Rabbanon. It was given to Yankov Avinu, but by definition, the only Novi whose mitzvahs are binding throughout all the generations is Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what the Rambam has, a list of the 13 Ikori HaMuna. So he says, we believe in Nevuah. And then he says, we believe that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon HaNevim. What's so significant about that? Moshe Rabbeinu is Adon HaNevim. He gets an A+, and the others get an A, and someone else gets an A-. What is he grading the Nevim? What's so significant? The answer is no. Moshe Rabbeinu is the only one who was given Torah. That's binding the Doros. Torah mitzvah is binding the Doros. The other Nevim, by definition, were only given Hayruah Shor. Nevuah means a Hayruah Shor. So that's Rav Soloveitchik has a long arichas on this and his hesped for Rav Elbala Soloveitchik. Lo kein avdi Moshe. He was repeating, Lo kein avdi Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is, Moshe Rabbeinu said a lot of dinim, also the Torah's Nevuah Hayruah Shor. So that Oivra Divi Novi is Chai Misa V'dei Shemayim. But most of the things that Moshe Rabbeinu said were binding L'dayra. So that's why that's the Teretz the Minchas Chinos Kasha. Minchas Chinos is bothered with a Kasha. Anyone who violates any Din D'Oraisa should be Chai Misa V'dei Shemayim. Because Oivra Divi Novi, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Novi. Oivra Divi Novi is Chai Misa V'dei Shemayim. So different Terutzim are given on the Kasha. And the standard teretz that they say now is the teretz that Rav Soloveitchik said 80 years ago, that Oivah Devei Navi means that Sibli that's Betoris Nevuah, that's only her Rosh Shor. If it's binding the Doris, then it's called Oivah Devei Torah, then it's not called Oivah Devei Navi. So that's how the Rambam learns. The mitzvah of Giranosha was certainly given to Yankov Avinu, the Machlokes HaTanaim is, why is it still binding the Zman Hazeh? And we assume La Halacha, not because whatever was given to Yaakov Avinu and any other Novi other than Moshe Rabbeinu will not be binding the Doros. It's binding the Doros because it was repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Pasuk says, the famous Tosfos Yontif writes a person came and he asked them, what did the Jews keep on praying for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and Hakrovas HaKarbanis? The pasuk says, "In Chagai Godli Yakvod Habayis Hazeh HaAchrim Min Arishon." When they were building the second Beis Hamikdash, he said, "The glory of this, the last Beis Hamikdash, will outshine the glory of the first Beis Hamikdash." So he calls it Achrim. This is the last Beis Hamikdash. What do we keep on davening is going to be a third Beis Hamikdash. So the Tosfos Yontif told them that we have two places in Chumash where the word Achrim doesn't mean last; it means latter, like it says over here. He took the Shvachos, v'yaldehen v'shoinim v'rochel v'leo v'yaldeh achreinim v'srochel v'yaldeho v'srochel v'syosef achreinim. So it says achreinim, and achreinim does mean last. It means after the first group. There was shalosh machnas. So you see that the word achrein doesn't always mean last. Sometimes it means latter. And the same thing by the in the beginning of Chumash Mois. When Moshe Rabbeinu says he's going to tell Bnei Yisrael he has a nevuah, they're not going to listen to me. So Bnei Shalom says you have to machzik yourself as a novi. So you have to show nisim. So he says first he says he should put his hand inside. I already forgot what came first. I forgot whether the mata turned into a snake, and then his hand turned into neged saras, and then it got cured again. So then the Baruch Shalom says, "Mlei aminu lekol ha'os harishon, daiminu lekol ha'os ha'achrein." Then he says, "Mlei aminu legam shnei ha'os ha'ela." Then you should take water, and it's going to turn into dam. But he says, "Yaminu lekol ha'os harishon, minu lekol ha'os ha'achrein." That's the kol ha'os ha'achrein. Then there's another rose after that. You see, the word achrein in biblical Hebrew doesn't always mean last. It means latter. The same as rishon. Rishon doesn't always mean first. It says, how does it say? Ach b'yom rishon tashbisis sar mibatechem. So the Gemara says in the beginning of Pesachim, it does mean the first day of Pesach, you burn the chametz. It means on erev Pesach. Rishon means prior. And achrein means latter. It doesn't always mean first. And achrein doesn't always mean last. Achrein sometimes means latter. So that's a famous comment from the Tosfos Yontif. I think it's on Demai, where he points that out. So then they quote from one of the Chassidish Rebbes that the Rebbe said, "Hoy adam lechem leos al abatim." The pasuk says. So the pasuk shat and the pasuk means then they shech the korban pesach. They put the dam al shtei mezuzos for the mashka for leyovah mashchis lingoif, because the dam will be al abatim. So this Chassidish Rebbe said, it doesn't go on that dam. I mean, the remez, it goes on the dam, because the two oises that he showed were the ois of the mata turning into a nochesh and turning back into a mata, then the ois of his hand turning into nekel tzaras and becoming healed again, and then he says, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Mlei aminu l'kol ha'os harishon, aminu l'kol ha'os ha'achron, v'mlei aminu l'gam shnei ha'os ha'zeila, den v'shafachta min ha'mayim b'yabosha v'hoyu ha'mayim l'dam b'yabosha." So the dam tzvadeh, the first dam, was an ois ala batim on the batim mikdoshes. That's the remez. That's how they quote from one of the rebbes, one of the early chassidish rebbes like that. That pasuk is alluding to this response that the Tosfos Yontif gave to the Apikoros. The proof in the pasuk that there will be a third Beis HaMikdash. Everybody bowed down to Esav except for Binyamin. Binyamin wasn't born yet. Binyamin was born later. So that's one of the explanations that the Medrash has. Why was Chelka Shel Binyamin chosen that the Beis HaMikdash should be built there? So the Medrash gives two explanations. Either because Binyamin was the only one who was born in Eretz Yisrael, he was a Sabra. Or because maybe they're connected, or because he was the only one who didn't bow down to Esav, because he wasn't born yet. All the other Shvatim bowed down to Esav. Maybe because the Sabras don't bow down to anybody. They have a lot of chutzpah. Maybe the two are connected. But that's a famous comment that the Medrash has. Pasuk continues to say, I jotted down different things out of order, so I'm trying to figure out the correct order. Oh yeah, then Yankim tells Esav, "I can't go with you because I have young children, a behemoth. I can't go so quickly. You go ahead." How does he say? Adonai yodea ki hayeladim rakim atzayim abaka alos alat fokum v'yamechon emesim kolot yavana Adonai lefnei abdu yugo anies na'lo li'iti arasha ova al Adonai se'ira. I'll catch up with you later. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, he never caught up with him, he didn't come. It's going to be lost in Lavoi, that it says, "Ola mashim atzayim l'shpoitas har'esav." So that Medrash is the basis for the choice of the Haftarah. That pasuk, Lola Mashiach Matzen Lishpat Sarayisim, is the last pasuk in Ovadia. Right, there's only one parak. So that's how it ends off. That's the fulfillment of his promise. He says, I'll see you in the future when we're going to be judging you for all of your averis that you did. They're going to judge Esau for all the averis. Then the pasuk continues, what do you mean Sholem? So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, Sholem begufoy, Sholem b'mamayna, and Sholem b'toyrosoy. Sholem begufa, because he was limping before. He was tzalei al yerechai. So then, vayisroch la Hashemesh, he was healed. And then by the time he came back to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushchem, so he was already sholem begufa. Sholem b'mamona, he didn't lose anything. He even had the pachim k'tanim. What sholem b'tayrosa, what was completed when he came to Eretz Yisrael? So there's a sefer emunah b'tochen that they attribute to the Ramban. I think some say it's not written by the Ramban. It's a question of who wrote the Emunah B'tochen. So he writes there, why do we mention Torah in the second bracha of Birchas Hamazon? The second bracha, the first bracha is Echalta v'savata v'rachta Hashem alokech al ha'oretz ha'tov v'ashen osan lach. So you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first bracha you thank for the food. Second bracha you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Eretz Yisrael. Third bracha you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Yerushalayim, the two aspects of Yerushalayim that has the Beis HaMikdash and it's the capital of Eretz Yisrael. So David HaMelech wrote the first part of the third bracha and Shlomo HaMelech finished it. That's how the Gemara says in brachas. Because David HaMelech established Yerushalayim as the capital and Shlomo HaMelech established it as the makam of the Mikdash. So why do you mention Torah in the second bracha? So the Ramban there, or whoever wrote it, and Emunah B'tochen mentions the reason why we mention Torah. So the Pashup Shat, I think Rashi writes on the Gemara and Brachas. Why do you mention Torah? Why do you mention Bris and Torah and Chukim? Because it was at the occasion of the Bris Milah, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu to perform the Bris Milah, Lech Lecha, that's when he gave him the Matan of Eretz Yisrael. That's why we mention Bris Milah. Why do you mention Torah and Chukim? Because Eretz Yisrael is given Allah Tanai. If we'll learn Torah and we'll observe the Chukim, then we have a right to Eretz Yisrael. We don't learn Torah, we don't observe the Chukim, we have no right to Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban Epes has a little different. He says that because he, in the Emunah B'tochen, he quotes the Medrash and Parshas Bereishis, Uzahab Horas Hahi Tov. So the Medrash says, the Torah is Hanecha Marim Izov and Mipozrov. Torah is more precious, more appreciated, more so than Zohav. Uzahab Horas Hahi Tov refers to Ein Torah Keteres Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban says, why is that so? Why is the Torah that you learn in Eretz Yisrael better than the Torah you learn in Chutz Laaretz? That's what it says in the Medrash. So he says, because there are mitzvahs, hatlias, baris that you can't observe in Chutz Laaretz. So what does it got to do with Liman HaTorah? I don't know, but that's what the Ramban quotes. So that's what some say over here. Why is Sholem Achrayim have like this? Why is it Sholem B'Toyrosa? Because all the Torah that he learned in Chutz Laaretz can compare to the Torah that he's going to learn now in Eretz Yisrael. Once you come to Eretz Yisrael and you continue to learn, then Ein Torah Keteres Eretz Yisrael. So that's why it says Sholem B'Toyrosa, because when you come back to Eretz Yisrael, that's the Limud HaTorah B'Shleimus. Then the post again says, Vayichanas Pnei Ho'ir. What do you mean, Vayichanas Pnei Ho'ir? So the Medrash says that he came on Erev Shabbos and he was Kaveh Tchum Shabbos. What does that mean? He was Kaveh Tchum Shabbos. He observed Shabbos, obviously. He observed Shabbos. So the Meshech Chochmah has a suggestion. He says, Avram and Yitzchak and Yankif at the beginning of his career used to be Megayr. They used to be proactive in HaNevesh HaShir Osa B'choron. Avram Megayr is HaNoshim, Mesorim Megayr is HaNoshim. They used to be Megayr a lot of people. And then something changed in Yankif Avinu's life. And he stopped being proactive. So he said, this is where it changed. He was Kaveh Tchum Shabbos, not going to go Chutz L'Tchum. I'm not going to go try to be Megayra everybody else. It says in the beginning of Vayeshev, how does the opening pasuk say? Vayeshev Yankov Beretz Megurei Ovi Beretz Kinnon. In the same country where his ancestors, his father, his grandfather lived, Megurei Lagur. So the Medrash Rabbah has an additional level of interpretation, Miloshen Gerus. that Avram was Megayer and Yitzchak was Megayer, and Yankov started off in the early years of his career, he was also actively engaged, proactively engaged in being Megayer, and then he stopped at a certain point. So the Meshul Chochman suggests maybe this is the point when all the Shvatim were born. So he's going to have a hashpah. We have an obligation to function as Or LaGoyim. That's what the Novi Yeshaya says. Jewish people have to serve as a light unto the nations. So how do we serve as a light unto the nations? So for the early years, we were, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yankov were proactive to be Megayer, to preach monotheism. And then after all the Shvatim are born, so we're going to be an Or LaGoyim passively. We're going to have we have our own family. We raise our children nicely, clean and neat, and work ethic, and decent, with integrity. Nice people. You have to have a medina with honest government. The president shouldn't be sitting in prison. The chief rabbi shouldn't be sitting in prison. The Chavri HaKnesset shouldn't be indicted. Unfortunately, we haven't accomplished that yet. So we're supposed to be Or LaGoyim. We're supposed to show the goyim how you have a nice medina. You have garbage collection, and you have water purification, and you have scientific research and medical advances and everything. And they develop the ways. Everybody knows how to get there anywhere in the world. That's how we are now, the Or LaGoyim. So that's what the Meshul Chochman thinks. He was Kaveh Tchum Shabbos means Al Yetzi Ish Mem Kom. He's not going to go Chutz L'Dal HaRamas anymore. He's just going to raise his own children. And that's how we're going to be influential on the going. That's the Medrash says, Vayichan Espanahir, he was Kaveh Tchum Shabbos. The Gemara has a Loshon, Vayichan a Loshon Chain. He added Chain to the city. What do you mean, added Chain to the city? So the Gemara says, whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kind to you, you have to demonstrate your appreciation by giving something to society. So what did he give to the society? Vayichan, he added Chain to the city Shechem. Shechem is a smelly city. Only Nochem living there. Very bloody city. So what did Yankov Avinu add Chain? So the Gemara has, in Bama Madlik, the Gemara has three different suggestions. So one Amora says that he minted coins, that they didn't have a monetary system. They used to always do barter. He would give clothing and he would get oranges. And he would give oranges and get wheat. And he would give potatoes and get pears. Everything was barter. And Yankov Avinu introduced a monetary system. Some sociologists claim that money is an evil of society, that the world would have been a better place to live in if there wouldn't be any money. Money is a terrible thing. Everybody's out to get money. So the Chazon Ish writes that he doesn't think that that's the Jewish attitude. He sees that Yankov Avinu was introduced a monetary system, and the Gemara praises it. That's a nice thing to do. The Chazon Ish says we see an halacha like that. The halacha says that machzus ha-shekel can only be, we spoke the other day, certain mitzvahs can only be fulfilled with kesef, can be fulfilled with shavah kesef. Machzus ha-shekel has to be dafke kesef, you can't be yotze with shavah kesef, so you have to have a monetary system. That's a question in the Girsa and the Yerushalmi, whether that din is a din d'oraisa, a din d'rabbanan. So Rav Moshe writes in his tshuvas, he wrote his chibur on the Yerushalmi, which he had to leave behind when he ran away from the communists, when he ran away from Russia. He says, in my Chibur on Yerushalmi, I demonstrated that the correct gears in Yerushalmi is that that it is a din d'oraisa. Even if you should assume that's a din d'rabbanan, but pidyon ma'aseh sheni, that's for sure a din d'oraisa. Pidyon ma'aseh sheni can only be done with kesef she'esh olav tzura. So the Chazon Ish says, if you have certain mitzvahs, pidyon ma'aseh sheni is a mitzvah, you say a bracha when you're about to do the pidyon ma'aseh sheni. It's not stam heter. So if there are certain mitzvahs that can only be fulfilled if you have dafke kesef, so then you have to say that kesef is not an evil of society. That's the ideal Torah society. It has to have kesef, and you have to have tiva, you have to have pera. That's the Gemara. The first daf in Perek Azov, everything in the world is divided into two categories, either tiva or pera, either cash or shavah kesef, commodities. So that's one opinion in the Gemara. But Yichan Espenehoi, he added chain to the city because he minted coins for them. He showed them, he introduced a monetary system. The Gemara has another opinion that he introduced bote bar chatzos for them. They should have better hygienic conditions. They should introduce it now in Shechem. It's a smelly city. They could use some bote bar chatzos there. And then the third opinion of the Gemara was that he introduced shopping malls. Instead of, if you want to buy potatoes, you have to go there. You want to buy clothing, you have to go there. You want to buy wheat, you have to go there. So you had a shopping mall, everything in the same place. It makes life easier. So that's what the Gemara has, the three different suggestions. Thank you. Then the story is told the way Shimon v'Levi wiped out the whole city. So the Ramban on Chumash has a discussion of this. What right did they have to kill all of these people? So he quotes the Rambam, says the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah in Hilchos Malachim says that one of the seven mitzvahs ben enoch is dinim, and dinim means that the goyim have to establish a court system and punish people who violate the laws. So over here they had a court system, but they didn't punish Chen ben Chamor, who had attacked Dina, so he wasn't punished, so therefore they all deserved the death penalty. This is really very questionable, because the Gemara says Azarosim Zui Misosim, a Benoch who violates any one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoch deserves to get the death penalty. But the Pashta says that's if he violates an Avera. He steals, the Gemara says, a Benoch is Nerag al Pachas Mishav Puta. Even if he steals less than a Shav Puta, he's Chai Misa for Gezel. If we steal, we're not Chai Misa. If we eat Eve Menachai, we're not Chai Misa. You get Malkas. Nochri is Chai Misa. And all of it, yeah, but one can say, maybe you only Chai Misa if you violate an Avera. Here that's, they violated a mitzvah sese. They violated the mitzvah of dinah mishevi al tase by not bringing Shechem ben Chamor to justice. They didn't punish him. The Rambam says it in another place also. The Rambam, the Gemara says that b'nei keturah, Avraham Avinu was mukhiv to be mal b'nei keturah. So the Rashi learns on that Gemara in Sanhedrin, only those, how many, eight children, I think, the b'nei keturah. The six children of Keturah, but not the future descendants. And the Rambam learns that B'nai Keturah throughout all the generations, they're mechuyev to observe Bris Milah. Shagazai writes, he thinks it's a very strange Rambam. He would think that Rashi is more correct. Whoever heard that there was some B'nai Keturah had more mitzvahs than the others, that's what the Rambam says. And then the Rambam says, what about today? We don't know which of the Arabs are descendants from Keturah, which are the B'nai Keturah, which are not B'nai Keturah. So the Rambam says it's a tarubis, it's a sofek. So all the Arabs who could possibly be b'nei keturah mukhiyev to be mal themselves, but if they won't be mal themselves, they won't be chai misa, because it's only a sofek. Since it's not a bade, it's only a sofek. So sofek lefashas lahokam. He should have said that you're not chai misa for failure to fulfill a mitzvah sese. So you see, the Rambam is saying the same in both cases. Failure to fulfill a mitzvah sese, if it would have been a vadai, it would have also been azarasam zui misasam. Usually azarasam means that if you violate an aver, and not that you didn't fulfill a mitzvah b'shevi al tas. So the Rambam holds like that. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says, nah, they're not chai misa for dinim. He thinks that they were all of the avodah zarah. They violated many of the shevi mitzvahs b'nei noach. Yeah. Mean for the B'nai Keturah doing Mila? It's also a strong point. How did the Rambam know that it even applies to that din, which the Shagazari thinks doesn't exist, which Rashi thinks doesn't exist at all? The Rambam holds not only there's a din that b'zmanazet B'nai Keturah amuchiyev to be mal themselves, or even chai misa if they don't do it. How did he know? It's a strong kasha, yeah.
Can
you mechalik
team Mila and other things? Mila is a chiyev
karis.
It's
an avera. Okay.
So
a good point. I don't know. Maybe by us the karis, by them there's also karis. I don't know if a benoyach is not gonna. I don't know. There are things the Rambam, the Gemara has in Sanhedrin, and the Rambam quotes and the Shulchan Aruch quotes it. Benoyach are not allowed to graft one tree on another. But the Rambam says they're not chai misa for that. Azarasim zui misasim is only the Sheva mitzvahs ben enoch, even though the others are their isa. They're not allowed to breed different animals together, not allowed to hybrid, but they're not chai misa for that. So how did the Rambam know that by the bris milah for the b'nei ketur? It's not one of the Sheva mitzvahs, that's what you're asking.
I don't
know if the goyim are also in B'klayim, like that. The Gemara learns it out from a pasuk. As chukoy tishmoiru. The Gemara says, chuk m'shechachakti lochokvar. The pasuk in the middle of Vayikra says, "As chukaisa tishmor behem tochalas ebi'a klaim sotchalas izri klaim." So the Gemara says, it refers to chukim shechakakte l'chakvar. I already gave these dinim to the bnei noach, but on that there's no chiyav misa. The Rambam says that's from the Gemara. There's no chiyav misa. How does he know that on the bnei keturah on the milah there's a chiyav misa? It's takeh shvera Rambam. This is where the famous Ramban is that we were discussing. Ramban says included in dinim is all of the Chof Talad Ovis Nezikin. That's why there's a Gemara in the end of Chulin, where the Gemara said, the Gemara that refers to 30 mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. The Rashi says he doesn't know what are the 30 mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. So some of the Achrayim say there are 7 mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, and one of them has 24. Dinim has 24. Choftal Arav is Nezik. So 24 and 6 is 30. That's a pshetl. Al pi pashtas, that's a pshetl. Because we said, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that when they came to the city, Mara, I think it says, Sham Sam Lachok and Mishpat, Sham Nisahu. So the Gemara says that the dinim were given to Bnei Yisrael when they came to Mara. Sham Sam Lachok and Mishpat, dinim were given. The Gemara says, what do you mean dinim? Dinim was there from before also. So the Gemara says, no, the Goyim only have Mammon, but we have Knas also. By the Bnei Noach, there are no Knasses. What the Ramban wrote over here in today's Sedra, that all the Choftal Arav's Nazik can apply, Pashtus is that it's a little not Meduyak, because part of the Choftal Arav's Nazik and the Zainus and Mefat and Kefal Dal of the Hay, that doesn't apply to the Bnei Noach. That's a Beferish Gemara, doesn't apply. So that's a problematic Gemara. What the Gemara says is that there are Shloshan mitzvahs that the Bnei Noach have. Yeah. Someone printed a drasha from Rav Soloveitchik on this incident. Why did Shimon and Levi have the right to wipe out the whole city? So the Rambam says because the whole city violated dinim, and the Ramban says because no, they were over there by the Zohar, they were other Averis, not because of the dinim. Rav Soloveitchik said because they wanted to marry with the Jewish people. If they're going to marry the Jewish people, they wanted the Jews to stay there. There were tens of thousands of Goyim probably living in Shechem. And how was Yankov and his family a small family? So if they're going to live together in peace and harmony, the Jews will assimilate and that'll be the end of the Jewish people. So in other words, they were coming to wipe out the Jewish people. So they declared war against the Jews. So Shimon Velevi, in war, all is fair and love and war. So in war, you have to have a surprise attack. So they said, you have to be mal yourself. And the Yom HaShlishi, Lemila, when they were all weak, so that's when they attacked them. Because they had to defend the Jewish people. If they would have given in to the request that we should all become one big family, the Jews would have disappeared. So that, when they had that, when Shechem had that suggestion, that meant that they were declaring war against us. They didn't realize it, but they're declaring war against the Jewish people. So we had no choice. You had to wipe them out. That's what someone printed a whole drosha from Rav Soloveitchik. Okay. Yankov Avinu tells the members of the family, Hasiris alei anecha she besech amitaharu ba'achlifu simlo esechem. What does he do with all of the elehei hanechar? So it says, Vayitmanos of Yaakov tachas alelu asher im shchem. He buried everything. So I think the Ramban or the Sfarna, one of the Rishonim on the Chumash raises the question: he's supposed to destroy Avod Azar, beer Avod Azar. So why did he do Vayitmanosam Yankov? So he says, no, Mikradin, this Avod Azar wasn't his battle already. They took all the things from the city Shechem. So some of the precious things that they took were Avod Azar, but it was Mutabano because the Goyim had already been mevatled. The Goyim had already been Mevatel before the Jews took it. Avod Azar Shal Nochri lends itself to Bittel. Avod Azar Shal Yisod doesn't lend itself to Bittel. Avod Azar Shal Nochri lends itself to Bittel. So Mikra Din, he didn't even have to bury it. But it was only a Chumra. So the Chumra, so he didn't feel that he's Mukhiv to destroy it. He just, Vayit Manoisam. Why did he tell him, Hachlifu Simla Seichem? What was that all about? I think Rashi writes, Shema yesh b'yetchem ksus shel avod azar. Maybe somebody has some clothing that they used to use in the churches. So what did they do with it? Also they buried it. I guess so, according to Rashi. I guess they also buried it. The Ibn Ezra learns a different shot. Asiris alahei anecha asher b'sechichem, because he didn't want to have avod azar, even though they were mevatlet, he didn't want to have any influence from the avod azar. But the hachlifu simla sechem, because the next pasuk says, "V'nokumem anala beisel." The esher shamis bechlakel ha'anoseh b'yem tzarasi. we're going to go daven. So the din is you have to dress up nicely. So don't wear dirty begodim. So it's not hachlifu simla sechem, and they buried it. Tachas ha'elo asher im shchem. Not that they buried it because they had to do it how it is all, like Rashi learns, but it's rather the din that says in Trei Osar, hikon likrus alakecha Yisrael. When you go to daven, you should put on fancy begodim. So it's supposed to dress up nicely. That's how the Ibn Ezra learns pshat here. Then the pasuk, a very mysterious pasuk. Thomas Dvar Menekes Rivka, but the cover mitachas lebeisel, tachas alon, veikushma alon bachus. Who is this Dvar Menekes Rivka? Very unclear. So some of the mafarshim explain, how did it happen? Rivka was brought up in Beis Shel Nochar. She was a brother with Lavan. They all loved the Avodah Zarah over there. So how did it turn out that she was a monotheist, and she turned out to be one of the Emois, and she had a greater koach hanavua than Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak Avinu was going to give the brachas to Esav, and she navigated the whole thing. And Targum Onkelos says she got a benavua. Alaka loscha b'ni. So the Targum says alayi tamar benavua. I was told benavua. That's what you should do. She navigated the whole brachas. How did it happen? So apparently it was Dvara Menekes Rivka. She was a monotheist, and she was the one who raised Rivka in such a way that she was ruya. She was ruya to become one of the imahs. So the pasuk says that they gave her a big kovet. When she passed away, they gave her a big kovet. It says in Sefer Shoftim that Dvara Hanaviyah sat tachas Toima Dvara. So we usually assume it's called Toima Dvara because she sat there. So some of the Rishonim say on this pasuk, no, the Panei Achrosi says no. The time of Dvaira, that's where Dvaira was buried. That's where this Dvaira was buried. And Dvaira Hanaviya is the Sittachas time of Dvaira. Sometimes people played a major role in history, unsung heroes. We don't talk about them. This Dvaira Menekes Rivka, she was an important woman. She prepared Dvaira. Everybody else in the family were Reb David Azar. She prepared Dvaira that she should be a monotheist and she should be Ruya to become one of the Imohas over here. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yankov Avinu, Goyi kal goyim yeh mimeko, Malochim mechalot zecha yeitze. Who's Goyi kal goyim yeh mimeko? So Rashi says that Binyamin is yet to be born. Binyamin wasn't born yet. So each one of the Shvatim is called Goy. That's the Mishnah in the first Perek in Hori. Sheva Dechad Ikri Koho. There's an institution of Parhalam Dovashal Tzibur. So the simple reading of the Parsha, the simple reading in the Chumash is, if the Bez Nagar on the Yerushalayim makes a mistake in Psak Aloche, in an Issa Koris, they allowed something, and the Rav HaTzibur, 51% of the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, violated that Issa Koris because of the mistake in Psak, the Bez Nagar. So normally if an individual person violates an Issa Koris, Beshegi has to bring a Chatos. So here we don't require each and every person to bring a Chatos. Bez Nagar brings a Parham Devash HaTzibur, and everybody gets a Kapur. So the Mishnah has a machloikis, and we pass in Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol. Every single Shevet had a Bez Nagodol of the Shevet. That's the Ramban in the beginning of Parshas Shoftim. So Shoftim Shatid Lecha, as to say, Titan Lecha, B'chol She'arecha, in every city, Lishvatecha, every Shevet. If every city has, of course every Shevet is going to have. There are many cities within the Shevet. So Tosfos says if you have a city that's divided between two Shvatim, so you need a Beznan in this half of the city, you need another Beznan in the other half. Every city, every Shevet has to have a Beznan in the city. Ramban thinks that Lishvatech is referring to this institution, a Beznan Gadol Shavah Shevet, and he quotes the Mishnah in the first Perek in Horeis. Not only was there a Beznan Gadol in Yerushalayim with 71, every Shevet had a Bez Nagodol of the Shevet. Ramban is not sure whether the Bez Nagodol of the Shevet also had 71 members or they had 23 members. He's not sure. Rav Soloveitchik thought that for sure it had to have 71 members, but the Ramban is not sure. So the Mishnah said, that's how we pass from Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol. The Pasuk says in Parshas Vayikra. So Sheva Decha Dikri Kohol. Then Radova Lesalavetchik says we have a Gemara in Bava Basra in Perkei Shnechlin. The Gemara tells you all the dinim. If someone dies, so his son gets the Yerusha. Has no sons, the grandchildren get Yerusha. No sons, no grandchildren. The daughters get Yerusha. No daughters, the father gets. The brothers get. The sisters get. The whole system. And then the Gemara says, why don't you say if the whole Sheva dies out, you give it to all the other Shvat? The Gemara says, Gemiri, we have a tradition. They'll call the shift to Misor. It's never going to happen. An entire Shevet should die out is impossible. How did they get such a Gemiri? Where is it such a tradition? The Aldabal of Soloveitchik says, based on a Ravid and a Pirish on Toras Kohanim on Vayikra, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Navi, Ani Hashem lo shanisa v'atem b'nei ankev lo chilisam. That's one of the Haftaras. So the Baruch Hu gave a Haftach that Klal Yisrael will never disappear. So since Shevet Echad Yikri Kohol, so that Haftach applies to each and every Sheva. So that's why Rashi quotes from the Medrash here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yankov Avinu, Goy Kal Goy Miyem Yimeko, you're going to have another Sheva at Goy. And Kal Goy means one of the Shvatim will be divided in half. So that's what Yankov later gave that schus, that one of the Shvatim will be divided in half. He gave that schus to Yosef, and Yosef was divided between Menashe and Ephraim. But that's what it's referring to. It's referring to the institution of the Shvatim. Goy or Kal Goy Miyem Yimeko is referring to the Shvatim. Vayal Mei Olav Elokim Bamokam Hashadiba Itoy. So the Ramban quotes from the Medrash Rabbah that the Tanoim had a tradition Ha'ovis Hein Hein HaMerkovet. Ha'ovis had a Hashuas HaShchinim on them. Just like the Merkovet in Yecheskel is for the purpose of Hashuas HaShchinim, so the Ha'ovis had. So that's when it says Vayal Mei Olav Elokim. Same expression appears by Avram. Vayal also such a similar lotion. Obis, all the Obis had like that. That's what the Ramban writes in his Hagdamah to Chumash Mos, which by mistake is most Chumashim is printed at the end of Baichi. Should really be printed beginning of Shmos. He says the Shmos, the first Sefer Bereishis, is all about all the beginnings. Beginning of the world, beginning of mankind, beginning of the Jewish people. Then, so that's Bereishis. Bereishis is all the beginnings. Then he says the book of Shmos is about the Golus HaRishayna and the Geula therefrom. So he says, but you get to the end of Shmos, you still don't have Geula. The Geula is when you return to Eretz Yisrael, and that's after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, that's in Yehoshua. So how can I say, the Ramban, so how can I claim that the Sefer Shmos has about the Golus HaRishayna, Golus Mitzrayim, the Geula therefrom? So he says, no, the Geula was when they built the Mishkan. When they built the Mishkan, that was the Geula, because the main aspect, the main tragedy of the Golus is not so much that they were in Chutz Lortz as opposed to Eretz Yisrael. That is a tragedy. But the main tragedy is that they no longer had, he paraphrases a pasuk in Iyov, Soda Laka Aleo Halehem. There's such an expression in Iyov, Soda Laka Aleo Holi. So Ramban says they used to have Hashuas Hashchina when they were in Eretz Yisrael. When they were in Mitzrayim, they didn't have. But when you end off that Ashwas Ashchina. So that is the Geula. That is the Geula. That's what they quoted from the Chazanish when they established the Chazanish lived in Eretz Yisrael years before the Hakamas HaMedina. So he said at the time of Hakamas HaMedina, this is the end of the Golus, but it's not yet the Geula. So it sounded like double talk, but he meant the end of the Golus. So that's the Geula. The answer is no. Geula means when you build a base on Migdosh. Geula means when you have Ashwas Ashchina. That's what the Ramban says. So he says, now it's the end of the Golus. We all have a Jewish Medina. Everybody from all over the world can come to Eretz Yisrael, but still don't have a Geula. So Shem Kum in the Geula. The Geula means a building in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says, Benisa Nigalu, Benisa Nasidim Ligo. What do you mean, Benisa Nigalu? So people usually assume Benisa Nigalu, it's Yitzias Mitzrayim. So perhaps it does mean that. Benisa Nigalu means that the Mishkan was completed in Nissan. The Shmini Lemiluim was Rosh Chodesh Nissan. The last 7 days in Chodesh Ador were the Shivas Me'amiluim. And Yom HaShmini was Shmini Lemiluim was Rosh Chodesh Nissan. That's when they started bringing normal karbanis. Benisa Nigalu. Ubenisa Nasidim Lehigoyel refers to the Hakrabas Hakrabanis. Because that's what it says in the end of Yecheskel. It doesn't say what year, it just says starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan, we will start bringing the karbanis in the third Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't say which year, but it says starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So maybe that's what it means. Benisan Nigalu, Mishkan was built in Nisan. Benisan Asim Lehigoyal, the Pasuk in Yecheskel says. They'll start bringing the Karbanas at that time. So that's what it says over here. Vayalmi, all of Elohim. That's what the Ramban says. That it means, he quotes the Medrash Rabbah. Ha'ovis, hein hein ha'merkova. The Ovis had a Hashuas Hashchina. Then the Pasuk tells about they're on their way to Ephras. Vayod kibas ha'oslava Ephrasa, and Rachel goes into labor and she dies. So the Ramban has a famous comment, and it's a little unclear what he's driving at. Ramban raises a question. The Gemara tells us that kiyam avraham kala toru kula ad shelo nitna. So many assume it's not only Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak and Yaakov also. So Akan Yaakov Avinu marries two sisters, isn't that a violation of the din? So different suggestions are given on this question. So the Ramban suggestion is that Kim Avraham Avinu Kol HaTorah HaShulah Nitna only made sense in Eretz Yisrael after the Torah was given. So the mitzvahs are binding. If it's a Chavis Aguf, it's binding all over the world. If it's a Chavis Karka, it's an agricultural mitzvah, it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. But if it's a Chavis Aguf, it applies all over the world. But Koyde Matan Torah, when they volunteered on their own, said the Ika Mokum for Shmiras Kol HaMitzvahs is really in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what the Ramban says. Yaakov Avinu married the Achoyes because it was a Chutz Lords. So then and then the Ramban says when they came back to Eretz Yisrael, so one of them died. Because they're coming back to Eretz Yisrael. So what do you mean? So does he have to divorce one of them? Or he shouldn't live with one of them now when he moves back to Eretz Yisrael? That's a question. So there's a Maharsha in Yuma where the Gemara in Yuma says also so the Maharsha raises a question: how come Avraham Avinu married Hagar HaMitzvahs? That din is you're not allowed to bar mitzvah v'adaymi dor shlisha yavol ha'mekal Hashem dor rishon you're not allowed to marry. So how come he married Hagar HaMitzvahs? So I remember Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky once was in Washington Heights. His second wife's grandchild became Bar Mitzvah. So he came to celebrate the Bar Mitzvah. So the Daf Yomi, at that time, that Shabbos punkt, the Daf Yomi was making a siyum on Seder Noshim. They finished Maseches Kiddushin. So they had a Shalashudas and 90 Bennett, and they asked Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky to hold that drasha. So he was a very fascinating speaker. He was a very original thinker, very out of the box, very different from not at all a standard speaker. Always had original ideas. Among other things, he spoke about this kasha of the Maharsha. So he had a suggestion. This is not what the Maharsha says. He had a suggestion that Gershon is gar kakot nishan ola domi, that If a non-Jew converts, so that's the din, that mitzvah v'adayim is also lovah b'kol. But when they converted Hagar, she was converted l'shem shivcha. So the din is that amadayim shvul lechem poem achamor amadayim lechamor, that ebe k'nainis shivcha k'nainis don't have any yachas. So they don't have any yachas at all. So he suggests maybe they don't have any yachas to their nationality either. So he says you have to check through Shas to see if it's Eisgehal. So he suggested maybe a mitzvah v'adayim is also lovel b'kol if they're megar l'shem ben chorin. But if it's megar l'shem shivcha k'nainis, so shivcha and an eved is ain lo yachas, not only no yachas to no tvisis kiddushin, no yachas to mishpacha, the Gemara says, no tvisis ishus, no mishpacha, and no nationality either. So he said maybe any mitzvah v'adoymi who converts l'shem v'eveknayni maybe ain lo yachas, and maybe they don't have a din of mitzvah v'adoymi. That's quite an original suggestion. That's not what the Maharsha says. So the Maharsha says that he married Hagar before he was given the mitzvah of bris milah, and he thinks that kiyam avraham avinu kol HaTorah HaShulah Nitna only after he was given the mikzvah kedushas Yisrael, before he's given the mitzvah milah, he didn't even have a partial kedushas Yisrael, so it wouldn't make sense to volunteer. And then after he had the bris milah, so then he should be parish from the hagarat mitzvahs. So he says, no, when you marry a girl beheta, so it remains beheta. That's a mishnah in Yevamos and Daf Samach Aleph. A kohen marries an almana, and then at the age of 65, the kohen gadol dies, and they think he's the best qualified person. They want to make him kohen gadol, so he has to divorce his wife, because the kohen gadol is not allowed to be married to an almana. So the Gemara says, no, hol v'yishtari yishtari. Since that the tchilas of ishus was beheta gomra, kohen hedid is allowed to marry an almana. So since when he got married, it was beheter, so the heter remains mutter. So that's what the Mashal says, that since he married Hagar before he was given the mitzvah milah, so he was married beheter, so he was allowed to remain with her. And he said the same, the Mashal says in Yuma, same is true regarding Rachel Valeya. He married them a chutzlor, so the Ramban says that was beheter gomer. So even when he returned back to Eretz, so it doesn't have to divorce either of them. But the Ramban does say, he says that the Ramban says one of them had to die because in Eretz Yisrael he didn't want to be married, he didn't want to violate the two. So Pesluchar is not like the Marsha. It's a question, not like the Marsha. The simple reading of the Pasuk sounds like Rachel dies, and after she dies, she gives the baby a name. First it says, but kash belidito. She was having difficulty in labor. Ibak shoyso belidito. So they said, al tiri ki gam zeloch bein. This is one of the, there are a few places in Tanakh where you have five words in a row that have two letters. Ki gam zeloch bein. This is one of them. A few other places, in the Chidona Tanakh, they have that. Okay. So that's just, believe it or not. What does mean ki gam zeloch bein? So the Rashi explains that all of the Shvatim had a twin. There was a twin sister that they should have someone Jewish to marry. And with Binyamin, there were two twin sisters. Kigam Zalach Ben. So when she had, apparently she first had a baby girl. And then another baby comes bouncing out. She didn't know whether she had twins or triplets. They didn't have any way to tell. She knew that there's a big pregnancy there. So she had another girl. So she thought, oy vey, two girls, and she's about to die. So she only had one of the Shvatim, she only had Yosef. And all the Bilah of Zilpa had two Shvatim. So it's going to turn out she only has one Shevet, only Yosef. So then they told her, no, don't worry, there's a third baby. It's triplets here. That's how some of Farshim explained. There's a third baby, and the third one is a boy. Kigam Zalach Bein. That's the pshat. And then the simple pshat in the next pasuk sounds like she died. Vayibit seisnapsha, she died ki mesa. She died. Vatikrishma benoni. How can it be? If she died, she gave her name after she died. So that's what some suggest. She stopped breathing and she died. But then the baby started screaming. There were three babies over here. There were triplets, according to the Rashi quotes and matters. There were triplets. So they started screaming. So sometimes a person dies, and then it looks like he dies, and then when you make noise, so they come back again. So it looked like she died kimesa, and then the three babies were screaming so much, so then she woke up again, and then she named the third one Binyamin. The third one was a boy, and then Vatamas Rachel, she died a second time. That's what it sounds like. Pasuk Yudches kimesa, Pasuk Yudches Vatamas Rachel, she died. The next pasuk tells about Reuven, Vayishkav es Bila Pilegesh Aviv. So the Mishnah says in Megillah that you have an institution of the Meturgaman. So this pasuk, Pilegesh, the story with Reuven, with Bila, the Meturgaman shouldn't say the translation of the pasuk. The Hamayinam who don't know Hebrew don't have to know what it says in this pasuk. We don't have to be Mefarsim the Aver. And others point out, the other Rishonim point out, the Panech Roza and some other, the Bali Ateses, they have a whole different shot. So after Rachel died, so Yankov Avinu had two wives, and then he had two Pilakshim. So one would have thought that after Rachel dies, so then he's going to be spending more time with Leah. So it says, no, he spent his time with Bilhah, Pilegesh Rachel. Pilegesh Rachel. So Reuven was very upset about that. So the Rishonim suggests, Vayelach Reuven. Reuven left at a protest. He left the family, he moved away. Vayeshkev is Bilhah Pilegesh Aviv. Yankov was living, he moved his bed into the oil of Pilegesh of Bilhah, the Pilegesh of Rachel. And Reuven was so upset about that, so Reuven moved away from the family. Then Yaakov Avinu heard that Reuven was upset, and he thought about it, and he realized Reuven is right, they shouldn't do that. Vayishma Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu heard that the Reuven left the family in protest, so he moved his bed into the oil layer. And when Reuven moved, when he heard that, so Reuven moved back with the family. Reuven came back to the family. And Yankov listened to the protest action that Reuven did, and he moved his bed from Pilegesh, from Bilhah's Ohan. The Pashup Shat in the Gemara is not so. Pashup Shat, the Pasuk is exaggerating the sin that he did. He was protesting the fact that he moved the bed of the father to his mother's bedroom at a protest. So the Pasuk exaggerates and says, Vayishkev is Bilhah Pilegesh Aviv. The Tanakh a lot of times exaggerates. By Bnei Eli also exaggerates. Says that they slept with the women who came to Mishkan Shiloh to bring karbonis, and the Chazal said they didn't sleep with the women. They were mashir karbonis, they weren't conscientious enough to bring all the karbonis. The day the women left the money in the Mishkan Shiloh, they waited till the next day, so the women had to sleep overnight to stay in Shiloh another day. So the Pasuk exaggerates. Sometimes the Tanakh exaggerates the averis that the big tzaddikim do. But the Rishonim interpret a whole different pshat, not that Vayelach Reuven, he moved away, and then when he came back, the father gave him a kiss on his head, and he said, you're right, I did wrong. V'yir b'nei Akim, Shneim also means when he moved back. So it's a very original interpretation. And that's why it says in the Mishnah that Maisei Reuven is Nikro below Mitargim, because the Targum Onkelos translates the Pasuk Kipshuto. So you shouldn't read the Targum.
According to this view that Reuven didn't end anything wrong at all, so what does it mean, Parshas Vayechi, regarding Reuven, it's a Yitzui Allah? Because it seems like Yaakov is very much
because he registered a protest against the father. He left the family.
And that's called Yitzui Allah.
That's how the Pasuk. The simple reading of the Pasuk is that he slept with his father's.
No, he didn't want to say that means he moved it, but he did something.
Yeah.
According to this other pshat, he didn't do anything at all. He just left.
He registered his protest.
No, right.
And then the father realized that he was right, and the father moved his bed into the oil layer.
The father thought he was right, and why is he going to complain later on? Yisui Allah.
Right. That's a good kasha. Why? If the Rishonim say the father gave him a kiss on his head, and he said you're right, so what is he complaining later? I don't know. That's a good kasha. People give a bracha that you should have Yiddish and Nachas from your children. What kind of a lashon? Yiddish and Nachas? Because one of the names over here, one of Esau's grandchildren was Nachas. So he was a guy. So we want that you should have Eva b'nei Reuel. Reuel was the son of Esau. Eva b'nei Reuel, Nachas was Zerach Shamamizan. So we wish you should have Yiddish and Nachas. There's a Gemara in Eilu Treifus in Chulin where the Gemara says when you write the name Kedor LaOmer, has to be written on one line. Of course it has to be written on one line. What's the Chiddush? So there are different traditions where they write Kedor LaOmer with a space in the middle. Are they two words? Are they one word? We always write it as one word. So what does the Gemara mean? It has to be on one line. In English you have a hyphen, let's say. You have a long word at the end of the line. So you put the hyphen and you have first five letters over here, the next three letters on the next line. Not enough room for all the eight letters on one line. So that's what it says, that in the Chumash you can't do it like that. If you have a long word like Kedor LaOmer, you can't put half the word on one line, the rest of the word on the next line. It has to be the whole word on one line. Well, what if, let's say, someone has a name, Yisrael Yankov? He has two names. So you have to write, Shailas, if you write a get or you write a ksuba, you write a get. So you have to, his name is Yisrael Yankev. Or Yankev Tzvi, whatever, he has two names. So you have to write the both names on one line. So the Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch that you have to write the both names on one line. L'chatchila, you have to write both names on one line based on the Gemara Kedor La'Omer. That's on the assumption that Kedor La'Omer really has a space in between. Some of the old Sefer Torah have like that, Kedor La'Omer. You have a space in between. But because it's one person with two parts to his name, so you should write the whole name on one line. So that's L'chatchila, we do like that. But if you have a b'dievet, it was given already, so there's room to be made. I remember many years ago I met a woman. She tells me that she's related to me. I'm sorry, I already forgot exactly how we related. And she says her father was a rabbi in the Bronx, and she got married at a very young age. She was only 18. And within the first week of marriage, she realized that she fell in a big mistake. So her father called my father. That my father used to be a Masada Gittin, they're going to get divorced already. Sure. So my mother told her the get is going to take place in our home. And my mother will hold her hand in the kitchen when they're writing the get, and she doesn't have to fall to pieces. She was a young girl. Sure. So they wrote the get, and it was late in the afternoon. And the meaning is you don't do a get balayla. Ramosha was never machmer for that, they told me. But in Shulchan Aruch, that's what it says. You're not supposed to do a get balayla because l'chatchila you need a bezin, and you can't convene a bezin balayla. So most have the meaning, like it says in Shulchan Aruch, you don't do a get balayla unless a big shas adchak. Then you make it to do a get balayla. So after the Sefer wrote the get, so my father looked it over. So he realized the Sefer made a little mistake. The husband had two names, Yankov Yisrael, something like that, and he wrote Yankov on one line, Yisrael on the next line. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that L'chatchila shouldn't do that, but B'dievet it's kosher. So the Shaila was here, it's not B'dievet yet, they didn't give the get yet, but it was a big shas hadchak. If they're going to have to write over a new get, they won't be able to do it today, she'll have to come back tomorrow. They have to start all over again, and the pearl girl was falling to pieces, and she'll have more aggravation. So at that time, you could call Rabbi Moshe. Everybody used to call Rabbi Moshe on the phone with the Shailas. So my father called Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. He asked him, with this, we have a klal, Shas Atchak Yedieved Dami. Shas Atchak Yedieved L'Chatchila, which usually is only good B'dievet. So yes, Rabbi Moshe, is this enough of a Shas Atchak to be makel to give the get the way it is now? So Rabbi Moshe said, Lo Hakel. So they didn't have to write it over the next day. But L'Chatchila, that's based on that Gemara that Ramo has like that, that if a person has two first names, Yankov Yisrael, so you have to write it on the same line. You don't have to write Yankov Yisrael ben Elio. You don't have to write the father's name on the same line. But so that's a shaila here. It's some of these people also have two names. Bas Mezahov. Here. In Pasuk Lamites, Bas Mezahov. That's the father's name. So Mezahov should be written on one line. We should check on the Sefer Torah. You shouldn't write it on two lines. L'chatchila shouldn't write it. Like Kedor Lo'omer, or you have Bal Chanan ben Achbor. The man's name, Oyom Shov Yimloch Tachtov Bal Chanan. So you should write Bal Chanan. It should be on one line. It should be on two lines, like Yankov Yisrael. The Gemara says about Kedor Lo'omer. Kedor Lo'omer should be on one line. Yeah, it says that one of the wives of Esav was Basmas, and this sedra says Basmas Eishes Esav and Pasuk Yud Gimel here in chapter 11 of Pasuk Yud Gimel, and in the other parasha it says her name was Mochlas. So Rashi quotes that kasha. So Rashi quotes the Medrash, her real name was Basmas, and Mochlas because when a person gets married he gets a mechilas adonis. Shloshen Mchalam Abenesek, Rashi quotes from the Yerushalmi and Bikurim. The three people whose sins are forgiven, and one is the Gershon, is Gayer, and one is a Chasen Kala, and the other one is a Oile Ligdula, a person who's appointed to a position of leadership. The end of the Parsha Elam Lochim, there's a lot in Zohar about that. I don't know what that's all about the Alufim. So he once gave a drasha, I forgot already what he said, but heavy, heavy comments here in the Zohar in this parasha. In the Haftorah, you have the pasuk that the Chafetz Chaim said over on his deathbed. Chafetz Chaim died before the Nazis started killing all the Jews, before the war. So he's sort of said Baruch HaKadosh that there's going to be a terrible war, a lot of people are going to lose their lives. So they asked him, Rebbe, what should we do? So he said, B'har Tzion Tiyeh Pleita. They should all go to Eretz Yisrael, there'll be Nitzal. So they said, Rebbe, but Eretz Yisrael, they're all apikusim. They're not religious, they're anti-religious. So he said, the next pasuk says, V'hoya Kodesh. Next phrase says, B'har Tzion Tiyeh Pleita, V'hoya Kodesh. And then he died. So that's the pasuk that's on the wall of the Panevish Yeshiva. I think the Panevish Rav was probably there when the Chofetz Chaim died. So he put that pasuk on the outside of the wall of the Panevish Yeshiva. Batzian Tiyeh Pleita V'hoya Kodesh. The Hatzolah will be in Eretz Yisrael. And it will become Kodesh. It will become Kodesh. Even if it's not Kodesh yet, it will become Kodesh. Rav Soloveitchik, when he said the hesped for his uncle, Rav Elvela, so part of the hesped was, they say that my uncle was an anti-Zionist. He says, I wouldn't say that. How can you call an anti-Zionist? He said, Rav Elvela's daughter was married to Rav Michal Feinstein. They were living in America for a few years. There was a period of time that Rav Michal Feinstein was a shutuf with Rav Soloveitchik. They had a kollel, they had a kibbutz for single guys. They had a kibbutz of Talmid Chachamim in Boston, and they were both giving shiurim at that time. So Rav Elvela Soloveitchik called the daughter, spoke to the daughter on the phone, and he insisted they have to come back to Eretz Yisrael that year, and if they don't come back, I'll never talk to them again. So he said, so Rav Soloveitchik said, I wouldn't consider that an anti-Zionist. So he said, I'm never going to talk to you again if you don't move back to Eretz Yisrael. So why do they have the impression that my uncle was an anti-Zionist? Because it wasn't what we dreamt of all along. We were thinking about Malchus Beis David and religious Kohen Gadol and all kinds of wonderful things. This is not the Medina that we were dreaming of. There's Moshe Sharet and Ben Gurion and all this. That's not the way we were. Rav Elvela, his uncle, was thinking about the Eretz Yisrael the way it's supposed to be. So he says, and my attitude is, Rav Soloveitchik added, that the Torah has its way of forcing itself on the Metzius. And the end will be, Eretz Yisrael will turn out the way it's supposed to be. So that's what they say from the Chofetz Chaim, that he said, it'll turn out to be Kodesh. That's what we're waiting for. Okay. Very good.
I remember a number of years ago, the Mr. Rebbe was talking about the idea that every Shevet will have a Nishkias, and he gave a different raya for it. Because when, after the Heder Hegel, when Hashem was threatened to wipe out Am Yisrael, and he won out of Moshe, so he said, so far from Yaakov, so I said, well, I'm making a nation after you, you're also a descendant of Yaakov. So I, what about priests Rishonim? So apparently, I don't know where this comes from, the Rishonim there means the Shvatim. So the priests Rishonim means every shape will have Nitzkir. You never have a case when, yeah. And he mentions another example of this usage, that Shev is something which has a chelik of Klai Yisrael which has nisgius, because when we see Parshas, end of Parshas Midbar, so it says, Al Kafusu Shev is Mishpachos HaKasi. He says, why does suddenly the Mishpachos call the Shev it? So he said, the reason is that because Shev HaKasi has Kuna in it, and there will always be Kohani. We don't know about anybody else, but at least Kohani will always be Kohani. Mm-hmm. Therefore, B'nai Kohos has to have Nisqus because of the Kuna. So therefore, that's why Shev Mishpachos. And that's why the B'nai Kohos are mentioned in Bamid, where all the other Mishpachos are mentioned in also. Yeah, but Tachlis Shevet and Mishpachos Achasi. So therefore it says Shevet, so therefore it's mentioned. Anyway,
good.
Have a good
Shabbos.
People in Tanakh who criticize mostly like Penina or Eli Melech, why do we remain use those names today? Meaning Hazal, mostly criticize certain people. So
you
why?
Use Reuben also.
Okay, well, that's another one. But what's the
good question?
Mishratim still has
Shabbos.
Good Mishabbos. After my father passed away, so a lot of the children named their babies Eli Melech. So my daughter in Eretz Yisrael didn't want to name Eli Melech because Eli Melech sinned
right.
In Ruth. So he gave the name Aviad.
Right.
named after the Ba'aviyah. Didn't get that.
No, I don't know.
Okay.
Panina is another
so
one.
The Rebbe Ramalach from Ajans.
Yeah.
Okay.
So many tzaddikim are named Ali Malach. I don't know. How do you give them names?
Well, an even better question than in the time of the mission, they had.